saw it as an opportunity that we can hopefully do okay financially with it.
How will you go about finding a way to monetize it?
We're in conversations with various strategic buyers. We're hoping that we may be able to bring a strategic buyer into the facility where we could bring jobs into the town of Normal. We don't know if that will happen or not, but that's, you know, our main priority. And from there, if that doesn't happen, obviously we will liquidate the assets.
From our talks with auto industry observers over the last year or so, it's kind of rare that a plant gets sold intact to another automaker or to a manufacturer. What are the elements of this plant that affect that calculation in your mind? What does it have and what doesn't it have?
Well, it's a later model facility built in the 80s. It's got some very good desirable manufacturing equipment, but you're right. It's not going to be an easy task to try to find a strategic buyer to put into this facility. I mean, that's everyone's goal. That's what we hope we can accomplish, but we're prepared to move to, you know, a liquidation if that doesn't happen.
What happens in a liquidation?
You know, we've got interested parties in a number of the major assets. We would sell off major, you know, the assets, and then we'd have an auction sale and sell off the balance of the equipment.
What are the major assets? The robotics, or
you got all the stamping transfer presses, you've got the large injection molding machines, you got all the robotic, you've got the paint. Those are the key things.
Some of those date to the 80s. There are probably newer models out there. Who would be interested in those things?
There's a lot of tier one, tier two automotive suppliers and then other industries as well. I mean, the stamping press can be used for any industry.
As you look for a strategic buyer, you're not just going to be looking at the automotive industry. Who goes for these kinds of facilities? What are the sectors that often occupy them?
I mean, you can have very, other industries outside of automotive. I mean, it just depends. You know, again, this is a large 2.5 million square foot facility. You know, we'll do a global marketing campaign to, you know, all sectors, construction, plastics, et cetera.
In our conversations with plant officials, the interest that's been expressed in the plant prior to your coming on board has been fairly varied. Farm implements, equipment suppliers, and a few automotive concerns. But they've often said it's too big. Is the facility too big for this day and age?
Yeah, more than likely it is. I mean, that's why, you know, we're probably the owner of it. Yeah, it's 2.5 million square feet in today's times is a large facility. That's why, you know, again, we would love to sell it to strategic. That's everyone's goal, but we are very prepared and will move quickly to liquidate if we have to.
How quickly?
Within a couple, 2-3 months, we'll start liquidating.
In selling it to multiple buyers, is that more difficult to arrange, or what are the conditions that can promote that solution?
No, that's what we do every day. We buy plants like this, and we handle liquidation sales, and that's what we essentially do every day, so it's not a difficult process.
How many plants come on the market every year?
We do probably 100 plant deals a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Without getting into proprietary stuff, of course, what's the breakdown and what happens to them?
I would say on the bulk of the deals we do, they usually go to liquidation.
And how many are sold intact and how many are sold to multiple buyers and subdivided later on?
The bulk of the deals go to multiple buyers.
Under what circumstances would you tear the place down and salvage it?
We would do that if there was... Basically, A, there's no strategic buyer for, you know, basically moving in and manufacturing. Or B, if we liquidated all the assets, there was no viable tenant to repurpose the facility. If we couldn't find, you know, a buyer like that, then we would move forward to a demolition.
That's worst case, though, right?
Yeah, ideally, yeah, that's the worst case scenario. But you have to be prepared for it.
What happens to sites that you're forced to handle that way?
What do you mean, what happens to sites?
Do you tear it down to a slab? Do you tear out the slab and do environmental remediation and go back to farmland? How extensive
every
are we talking?
Every project's different. We haven't decided what we would be doing at this point. We're really not looking at that aspect right now.
Who's buying now? Who's out there?
There's plenty of buyers out there for various
things. I mean, we have sales every week, but there's buyers, there's brokers, there's manufacturers. I mean, there's buyers all over the world we're selling to, you know, into India, China, Europe. I mean, all different sorts of buyers, all different sorts of sectors that are buying equipment.
Mitsubishi obviously isn't in the business of selling plants. What kind of expertise do you have that they don't?
You know, we're a global marketing company that's, you know, in the liquidation business. I mean, this is what we do. We, you know, buy and market sellable assets. That's what we do day in and day out.
And how do you construct a network of contacts and interest to do that?
You know, first of all, we've been in the business since 1902. So we've got a, you know, extended database of buyers, you know, over a million buyers over the years that have purchased some type of asset from us. So that's one. Two, we have, you know, the global reach with all our marketing capabilities with the various, you know, channels of marketing. See, we know the assets, you know, and that's essentially what we do. We don't, you know, it's how we're different than someone like Mitsubishi who is making cars.
I note from your website, too, that you also have a fine arts division. How did that develop as a part of the company, just as an excursion off the main topic?
That's a division we've had in British Columbia, and that's how the company started back in 1902. So we've never gotten rid of it.
How does Bloomington Normal and this facility stack up against a lot of the other deals that you've done? What are the things that you're going to emphasize to potential buyers?
Well, the capacity size. I mean, you know, if there's a buyer out there that needs, you know, large capacity, I mean, that's, you know, this does have large capacity.
What should I be asking you about how the work will proceed with this facility?
Right at the moment, I mean, there's a number of moving targets, and, you know, our game plan will change based on, you know, what develops. You know, it just obviously was announced here just a week ago that we're acquiring it. We've been dealing with various parties, but, you know, right now it's still early to tell you exactly what happens. Things, you know, take twists and turns, and, you know, so at the moment, I mean, I think I've pretty much answered as best as I could, you know, the various options we have, and you know, I think you just got to see how the thing plays out now.
What can the Bloomington Normal area and the Mitsubishi Task Force do to help you do your job?
I mean, listen, if we can find suitors for the facility, obviously tax incentives, you know, would entice potential buyers. I think Mitsubishi's been extremely helpful. They've been great to work with in this transition period, and they're just Class A, you know, Class A organization with Class A people.
There would be potential for local development incentives, but how often do you have conversations with state governments about that sort of thing?
We will be having those conversations as we move along in the project, for sure.
As you may know, Illinois is in a bit of a financial pickle right now with a budget stalemate that's been going on for 10 months or so and a lot of back bills. Is that sort of uncertainty to the business climate going to play into your efforts?
I don't know. At this time, I don't know if it will or not.
Once you find a suitor, what role can the local development task force have in linking with you and with that suitor for conversations? Do you mediate that? Do you turn the prospect over to the local task force? How does the conversation go?
Again, still way too early to know until if and that person's located, that group is located. Once we know, I mean, every buyer is different. Every buyer looks for different things. So it's still too early. Until you have identified a potential suitor, I really can't answer that question.
Have you linked up with the local task force and with area municipal governments to have them be ready if and when?
We have spoken to various officials.
How often in a case of demolition are there environmental concerns to deal with?
You know, obviously there are, every situation is different. I mean, you know, you do your asbestos survey, you do your environmental, you know, studies. Every situation is different. There's some facilities that have no environmental issues and some that have, you know, plenty. Every deal is different.
Is there a historical gauge for plants older than, say, the 70s tend to have more environmental issues, plants older than the 80s tend to have fewer? Is there a rough guide, thumbnails guide on this?
Every plant's different. Every plant is different. Yeah, the older there are, there's probably more environmental remediation that needs to be done. But again, every plant's different.
Okay. Are plants ever turned back into farmland, ever?
I'm sure that we haven't, but I'm sure it's probably been done.
Okay. It, obviously, that's, again, one of the worst-case scenarios.
Sure.
What else can the local area do to help you find a buyer, which is everybody's best outcome?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, if they have any interested parties, they should, you know, reach out to us with those parties so we can, you know, vet them and talk to them and see if there's, you know, real potential to, you know, potential there.
Tasso Sofakidis is the president of Maynard's Industries, an industrial reclamation firm worldwide that has bought the Mitsubishi plant. Thanks so much for chatting with us.
No problem. Thank you.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.